Another in the class of 2023 is Mike Brown, a Reynolds High School graduate, a guy that had experience coaching at pretty much the high school and college level in multiple places. And first off, Mike, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm really humbled and honored by this. It's special. It's really special.
Just talk about what makes a successful coach in your mind.
Stay with it, I think, is the longest thing. I have over 48 years in it right now, and I'm still doing volunteer work and stuff like that. But I've coached football, basketball, baseball, track and field, was an AD for almost 20 years as well. So I just stayed with it, and it's something I've done all my life. I love sports and stayed with it, you know.
For a young coach out there, or maybe a coach that wants to get into it, what advice would you give them?
I think it's the same thing I would give a kid when I was recruiting him. I want you to get involved with as many sports as you can, because you never know where you're going to fit in the best way. You know, when I came out of college, right out of college, I got a head track job at the high school I was hired at and a varsity assistant in football, and then the next year I moved into basketball. I had 22 straight years where I coached three sports or whatever on top of that, you know, and it's, you know, it's for the kids. I mean, you know, I can name every high school coach, every Babe Ruth coach, every Little League coach I ever played for. And I think when I did my first, you know, application for here, I wrote that down, and Lynn wrote back. I said, there's no way you can name everybody. So start asking, I'll tell you. You know, and I did. You know, I just, coaches were important to me, and I hope I'm carrying on their legacy that they left me.
You grew up in Reynolds,
yeah,
and you went to school at Reynolds. Talk about that experience. What was it like playing sports at Reynolds?
Well, back then it was pretty good. It's good again now, but I was one of St. Mike's brats there for a while. When they closed that, then we went to Reynolds. And I was in ninth grade when I started. Ralph Bouch was the football coach. Wayne Petrarca was the football coach. Chuck Garrett was the basketball coach. And it took me a little while to get used to it. But once I fit in, the kids accepted me, you know, from being another, you know, a transfer in and stuff like that. And I have all good memories. No bad memories of any of that. Of course, you throw those out sometimes.
We tried to. What's the key? And maybe there's no answer to this. What's the key in handling a parent that's maybe not seeing it the way you're seeing it as a coach?
Well, it's a funny thing. I had that happen one time, and I told a parent, listen, if your son can help me win, I don't care if he's ugly, if he's fat, if he doesn't like me or I don't like him, he's going to play. Just tell him to play hard. You know, go after it. Every night you go after it. You know, that's what coaches notice, is the kids that never give up. You know, and that's what I basically tell my kids every day. You know, just play hard. That's all I'll ever ask of you.
You coach many sports. What memories jump out? What games or memories that...
Oh, my. There's tons of them. I had one that's really funny that was just recently. I coached a game against Carn City this past week, and my grandson plays for Carn City. So I got to be a granddad coaching against his grandson. That was pretty neat. But I was fortunate enough to be on, you know, with kids that we won some championships with, and we had some teams that weren't very good at times. But you always remember the really good teams, because sometimes you don't coach them as much as you guide them, you know, and try to get them through rough spots and stuff like that. I'll tell you one story that real quick. We were 17-0 one year in basketball, and I wore the same sweater. It was about the time Louis Carnesecca and all those guys were wearing sweaters. 17 times I wore that sweater, and I come home after school, and my wife washed it. And I was like, we got beat that night. We got beat that night. So I said, don't ever wash my sweaters.
Superstitions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We all have them.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Especially sports guys. You know, you always have something. You know, whether you wear your socks the same height, whether you step in the batter's box the same way, you know, whether, you know, no matter what it is, you know. It's fun.
What sport do you like the most, or coaching? Is there one that stands out more than the others?
Boy, oh boy. I think basketball and baseball are both pretty even. Had a lot of success in basketball, and really was successful at the high school level in baseball. We were 105 in 40 years, and four 40 losses in my 8 years. And then I got to move to the college level at Clarion University for 11 years, and that was pretty sweet, too. So different levels. Boy, I'll tell you what, you want to tell a kid how to get to the next level, it's hard work. It's nothing but that, you know.
And that's always the challenge when you have parents or kids you think they maybe should be playing at a higher level. What's the advice there?
It's just, you know, hey, tell Jimmy to work harder. Tell him he's got to work on his shot. He's got to be in better shape. Be honest with them. If you're honest with them, they can't come back and give you anything, you know. And I basically tell them, ask your son what he's doing in practice. Is he working hard? Is he taking it easy? Is he saying he's hurt? You know, I try to be as honest as I can with them, and I don't promise any kid anything. You know, it's what you earn in practice, what you get in the game, and I tell the parents the same way. If he's a good practice player, there's a better chance he's going to play in the game. You know, so.
Now, for people that never saw you coach, or either basketball or baseball, what type of teams did you have? What would I expect to see if I was broadcasting one of your teams?
Basketball team, you would see a team that would run and gun, run and shoot, rebound well, get the fast break out. But we had ability to slow it down when we needed to. I always had really good shooting teams where they shot very well. And in 1980, we were a team of 23-4. We shot about 52% from the floor, we scored 81 points without the three-point line, 81 points a game without a three-point line. So those guys could fill it up. We got knocked out of the state playoffs by Wampum, you're lucky. In baseball, I just said to the kids, you got three swings for a quarter. You better not come back with change in your pocket. You know, take them all and just have fun playing the game. Baseball, I think you can do that a little bit more. Have some fun, you know. It's like, you know, watching dandelions grow in right field and stuff. You know, all the adages that come back to haunt you and stuff like that. But when I was in high school, one time we quit practicing on Friday nights. I let the kids have Friday nights off in baseball, and we practiced Sunday evening. And in the 6 years we did that, we never had a kid miss a Sunday evening practice. Parents would call me and say, thank God you got them out of the house, you know. And I tried to make it fun. Everything I play, I tried to make it fun. You know, and that was the big thing. Because I had everything that's good to me in my life has happened because of athletics somewhere along the line.
Big controversy today. There's a big discussion, maybe more than controversy, is in your opinion of a shot clock at the high school level in basketball.
I don't think it needs to be at the high school level. I think part of the high school game is being able to control the ball. And I think you penalize a team that's really jumped out on somebody and done a good job, you penalize them by throwing a shot clock on there. I think at the next level, yeah, the shot clock in college has helped the game because that becomes more of an entertainment thing. But I think at the high school level, you're trying to teach. You're trying to make kids understand what situations are. You're trying to make sure they know what's going on out there. They're aware of everything on the floor. And I think a shot clock basically will put the ball in one kid's hands. And the dribbler or the kid who passes, it's going to be tough to do that. I don't like the shot clock in high school.
Just talk a little bit about what you're doing today. I know you're coaching, and talk a little bit about your family.
I've been very blessed. I met my wife 46 years ago. We got married, and she's been with me the whole time. You know, it's funny. I told her I was a coach when I got into it, and you knew I was a coach when I got into it. So she's been very supportive. She was my best stat lady in basketball because she would sit up with me at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night counting the stats on the boards and stuff like that. And she's done very well. She gave me three beautiful daughters. One of them graduated from Teal. The other two graduated from Clarion University. They all have their master's degree. We have seven grandkids, and they're really good. I could say the oldest one's 16. I got to play against him, you know, as a coach, and that was really awesome, you know. But love the kids.
What does weekend mean to you?
Oh man, I'm in awe right now. I mean, when I got the call from Bill, I was like, you know, I was like dumbfounded. Nothing come out of my mouth, you know. I think it's the epitome of all my years and stuff like that. I'm not sure I deserve it, but I'm happy to be here. You know, I'm meeting a lot of guys that I knew growing up with, playing basketball against or baseball or whatever, and a lot of old memories are coming back.
Mike Brown, congratulations. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.